glory to God. Amen. I've got two things to talk about. One of them is titled 2020 Vision and Walking Down Blind. You like to hear something like that this morning? Amen. Or would you like to hear this one? Don't blame God. Blame the devil. They got two of them. Amen. Which one do you rather hear today? The other one you'll get later. Amen. Which one do you want me to go first with? Huh? Don't blame God? All right. Amen. Everybody's for don't blame God. Say I. Amen. All right. Here it goes. I kind of had a little nudge along that line, but you kind of helped me, you know, decide this morning. Praise God. And so let's turn to Matthew. Amen. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and 1. In the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. You heard that, didn't you? Amen. It's wonderful to have nice churches to worship in, especially in the wintertime. Amen. And maybe that's the reason Jesus chose for the center of his ministry the greatest amphitheater in the whole world, the Jordan Valley. So far below sea level that it was immune to much of the weather that plagued the Mediterranean. Amen. Most times in the year, particularly on down in the southern Jordan Valley where John the Baptist baptized, it's summertime the year round, just about it. Down around the Dead Sea, it's warm weather the year round, tropical almost. Amen. And Jesus chose that for the center of his ministry. Amen. And so that might be one great reason why he didn't have to have great cathedrals and great churches to preach in. But Jesus, amen, the greatest preacher that ever wore shoe leather, didn't preach in an air-conditioned church with cushioned pews with a McDonald's just down the road. Amen. And that demonstrates to us that we can get along without those things. Huh? Amen. And many things that men put stock in today, they don't amount to too much in the sight of God. Big cathedrals and huge churches, amen, become pink elephants that you got to feed. Huh? Amen. And sometimes they are bars that keep out the poor. Amen. Well, I just want you to notice that Jesus sat down by the seaside. The greatest preacher that ever preached. Amen. He didn't preach in the Taj Mahal. Most of his ministry was not in the temple. Amen. If you please. When he went up, before he could even preach, he had to clean house. Two different times he threw out the money changers and kicked over the dove cages and stomped their cash registers and drove out those that attended them with a scourge of small cords. Amen. He had a hard time getting in his own church. Amen. So he preached by the seaside. Amen. One of the greatest sermons ever preached was called the Sermon on the Mount. He preached on a mountainside. Read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Praise God. Man, you talk about a man rewriting history and laying a new foundation. Amen. For the law and the prophets were until John. But since then, the kingdom of heaven was preached. Where did he preach it? He preached it on the mountainside. Amen. In Luke chapter 5, the text of the first message I ever preached about 45 years ago, more or less. Amen. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat for a pulpit and preached to the multitude. They pressed him so they was literally pushing him into the sea. Amen. So he borrowed Peter's boat, and they came to the water's edge and stood agape with open mouth and open ear to hear what this rabbi from Nazareth would have to say. Amen. He crossed the Sea of Galilee and over yonder on the plains of Gennesaret in Luke chapter 6, he preached another version of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Only this time, it was the Sermon on the Plain. Still no cathedral. Still no synagogue. The synagogues wasn't big enough. Why, they would have limited the ministry of Jesus Christ, wouldn't they? Amen. But there in that grand amphitheater where the mountains come down to the sea, on every side, where the air is just right as far as its moisture content for voices to carry far distance, and you can hear the shepherds calling the names of their sheep a half a mile away. Amen. Jesus chose that. Praise God to preach the Sermon on the Plain. Amen. Well, we don't have to have great cathedrals. We don't have to have multi-million dollar churches to have church. Can you say amen? Amen. But they're a blessing. But let's not limit God to that. Let's thank God for His blessings. Let's thank God for the good heat. Let's thank God for the cushioned pews. But remember, there's a lot of people that don't have it. Billy Graham was called during the Korean War to a prayer meeting among the Korean Christians in South Korea. Amen. When he got to the church, he said there was no walls to the church. There was no roof to the church. There was no floor to the church. The church was just a place where the people met. And in that frigid weather, he said, I shivered beneath my heavy parka. Amen. Big overcoat. Amen. And there was those Korean Christians so poor that some of them barely had enough clothes to cover their bodies. They fell on their knees on the cold ground. And he said they were praying in unison. Naga, 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 naga. He said, I asked the interpreter what they are saying. And he said, they are saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. With hardly enough clothes to cover their body, they were saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the zero weather. Oh, aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? But let's not limit God to the temporal blessings, praise God. Yes. Here a sower went forth to sow. Some seeds fell by the wayside. But let's go on a little farther. Amen. Let's go over to the 18th chapter. And let's read another story. Incidentally, Brother and Sister Croucher, I have marked here in my Bible that in February the 27th, 1979, Herman Lee Croucher preached from this text right here in the church. Amen. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. One heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown. Amen. In the heart. This is that which is received by the wayside. And he goes on to give us the interpretation of the parable of the sower. Amen. Let's go on down just a little bit farther. I'll let you peruse that context. Skip down to the 24th verse and let's begin reading. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. You heard that, didn't you? Amen. He sowed good seed in his field. Amen. Amen. That probably needs to be dealt with, and probably I need to stop there and take the time to tell you Amen. That in much of our teaching, in much of the books that is written that teach young people about the dangers of marrying those that are not Christians, to marry those of your own faith and those within the church. And that's the truth. But there's another side to that story. You may do the best you can and make the best choice possible, but that's no guarantee that angels can't turn into devils. You think about that. And sometimes they do. Right in church. And don't you be surprised if you see it happen. Amen. Angels do fall. You ever hear fallen angels? You ever hear anything in the Bible about fallen angels? Anything in the Bible about fallen men? Adam had a perfect wife. I mean, you could not find a more perfect woman than Eve, the mother of all living. But that's no guarantee that Eve might not be tempted. Huh? Amen. And that she might not in turn tempt Adam. Well, what about that? Amen. Adam had a perfect wife to start with, and she messed up. And Adam was the perfect, smartest feller in the world. He had a mind that was equal to most computers. He named all the animals, and for the most part, they still carry the names that Adam gave them. He named them. He could talk to them. I'm not so sure they couldn't talk back to him. Amen. I don't want to rattle your cage too much this morning. Amen. But it was different back then. Amen. Animals talked. You know who that was talking to Eve, don't you? It was that serpent that was talking to her. That animal. Amen. It may be one reason that God confounded something that we may not even realize there in the Garden of Eden. Amen. He made it impossible for animals to talk to us like they once did. Wasn't the only curse that came on the serpent, just the serpent. He could no longer climb trees with hands and arms. He had to crawl on the ground, and he lost his ability to talk. All he could do is hiss. Amen. And probably a whole lot of the other animals lost their language contact with the Lord of creation that God had put over them, Adam. Amen. Well, amen. Don't want to rattle your cage too much there. That's just thrown out, you know, to get you to thinking. Amen. Hear ye the parable of the sower. Well, another parable he put forth them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in the field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed some tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You're listening to me, aren't you? Are you reading? So the servants of the householder came and said to him, faithful servants, man is interested in the, quote, kingdom, end quote, or the field. Hey. Amen. The servants of the householder came to him and said, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? Big old question mark there. From whence hath it tared? Another big old question mark there. Well, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Amen. The servants said to him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Here's my text, my title again this morning. Don't blame God. Amen. Don't blame God. They go a little farther. Don't blame the church. Let me go a little farther. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the servants, the workers, deacon board, trustees. Hey, you listening to me? Amen. Don't blame the kingdom of heaven. Don't question God. Don't question old-time religion. Don't blame old-time religion and say, if that's religion, I don't want anything to do with it. Huh? Who are you going to blame when you see tares spring up? Amen. Blame the enemy. Blame the devil. Amen. Oh, boy, there's all kinds of people that... They claim to be, quote, bitter, end quote, against God, quote, end quote. Amen. Bitter against God. Bitter against the church. Bitter against the pastor. Bitter against the workers, the deacon board, the trustees. Bitter against God. Bitter against religion. Oh, the devil will find something, amen, for you to vent your bitterness on. Amen. Blame the devil. That's where the blame belongs. Amen. Big question. Biggest question in the world. Bar none. Few exceptions, if any. Biggest, boldest question in the world is, why? W-H-Y. Why? Amen. And then they may address it to somebody else. Why, God? Why? Amen. Householder, whence came these tares? Amen. Oh, there's some don'ts that we need to mind or pay attention to when things go wrong. Amen. Now, let me qualify that statement, things go wrong. Well, now, there's not anything that's out of the control of God totally. He's got the answer. The householder had the answer. The one that, owned this field had the answer. He knew he sowed good seed. He knew that. Well, now, where did these tares come from? Amen. Simple, straightforward answer, the devil done it. Amen. We may not be able to blame everything on the devil, but he did this. Amen. And he's to blame for a whole lot of things. Amen. Now here's what will happen if we're not very careful. When the enemy sows tares, we'll come along and put up a big high fence so nobody can get in. Amen. But if we're not careful, we'll also keep the reapers from getting in. The workers from getting in. And if we're not be very careful, amen, we'll be like me locking myself out of my own truck and I couldn't even get in the other night. Amen. When we get the fence too high to where nobody can get in, amen. Oh, we got it too high, folks. Praise God. We're playing it too safe. Come on. Amen. Don't lock the doors or make the bars too high. Amen. And be careful about pulling up tares. Amen. Because that tare might be growing right next door to some good wheat. And their roots might be intermingled. Huh? I'm talking about in the kingdom, folks. I'm talking about right in the kingdom. Amen. To be a little player, I'm talking about right in the church. Hey, I'm not talking about way off out yonder somewhere in the world. No, no, no. We came out from among them and been separate, saith the Lord. Amen. A long time ago. I'm talking about the devil sowing tares right in church. Amen. The master knew he sowed good seed. He knew he preached right doctrine. He knew that he sowed the right kind of stuff. And he looked for the right kind of crop. But then the servants, the faithful laboring workers came along. They have found tares, and the Lord of the kingdom, the master of the household, said, the devil is the one that sowed these tares. Amen. What are we going to do about the tares? Amen. Huh? What are we going to do about the tares? Get sticky right here. Amen. It gets tight right here. When that tare's married to a grain of wheat and their roots are intertwined. Amen. When that tare's the father or the mother or the brother or the sister of some choice wheat and their roots are intertwined. Amen. We're going to be careful right there. Amen. And here's what Jesus said. This is Jesus' advice. He said, let both grow together. Did you hear that? Amen. Does anybody want to take issue with that? Then you'll have to talk to him. He's the one that said it. I didn't have nothing to do. I'd like to took the bull by the horns a few times. Amen. Oh, yeah. I'd like to jerked out some tares a few times. Amen. Might have been some times I almost done it. And to a lot of people, they might have thought I did it. Amen. But I didn't, by the help and grace of God. I don't think I did. I don't think I have. Praise God. Amen. Because it's God's will that if they decide to do that, to let both grow together. No, I tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pull out of this mess. We're going to start as a new denomination. We're going to start as a new movement. Amen. We're going to start as a new church. We're going to pull out of this mess. We're going to start as a new kingdom. Well, let me tell you what you're going to find out real soon. It won't take too many seasons. The growing season's not too long before the tares show up. Amen. I want to tell you what you're going to find out. If you got humans in your kingdom, amen, soon you're going to have the same problems you had when you said, I'm going to get out of this mess. Amen. I'm telling you, in church life, I'm talking right in the walls of the church, in church life, amen, in church families, come on, amen. I don't care if you do pull out and start you a new one, amen, and say, I'm gonna get out of this garbage, amen. Now, I don't care what you name it. Here's what we're finding today. Whether it's named holiness or Church of Christ, if you got humans in it, you got problems. You just look around and listen. Keep your ear to the ground. And you'll find out if you got humans in your field. Amen. That's the ground that the enemy sows tares in. Amen. And who are you going to blame? Amen. I'll tell you who some people blame. They blame God. And if they can't blame God, they'll blame the preacher. If they can't blame the preacher, they'll blame the deacon board. If they can't blame them, they'll blame the whole church. And if they can't do that, they'll cop out entirely and blame religion. Say, I'm going to have nothing to do with church no more. Amen. And he never blamed the right feller. The one that tried to cause division to start with. The one that sowed the seeds of malicious gossip to start with. Amen. The one that sowed the seeds of schism to start with. That's where we get our word scissors. It's spelled S-C-H-I-S-M. Schism. Amen. Or some pronounce it schism, but I think everything's pretty well silent. Amen. When you get past that S, it's schism. Amen. That's where we get our word scissors. And you know what the devil's big plan is? Amen. In the church, it's divide and conquer. Amen. Sow the seeds of division. Amen. Schism. That's it. Praise God. Oh, you don't get away from problems if you live in this world. Amen. And you don't blame God for them. Blame the right person. Amen. I know some folks today that's bitter. And you know what it boils down to, who they're bitter against? When they talk, they blame it on holiness people. Amen. And how that they don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't do something else, and they're at each other's throats, and they're all the time fussing and this, that, and the other. Amen. And they never blame the right fella. Who sowed them tares anyhow? The devil did. You guessed it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we going to do? Blame the devil. And what else are we going to do to reverse this schismatism that the devil has sown in the church? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to blame the devil and forgive our brother. And did you know that Jesus teaches us to do that every time we pray? Amen. When you pray, you get in your closet, you shut the door, pray like this. Our Father. You can't even pray the Lord's Prayer and be selfish. You got to say our. Maybe his. Maybe my Father is not his. Yeah, our Father. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Not ours necessarily, but his. Thy kingdom come. And that's what we're working for today. And this is one stage of it today. This is part of the kingdom of heaven. Our work on earth is in the confines of the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. And so when we see tares seemingly cropping out within that kingdom, amen, here's what we're going to do to reverse the trend of hell, to reverse the powers of Satan, to defeat the demonic influences that would divide us and conquer us. Amen. We're going to blame the devil and forgive our brother. And do it every day. Amen. Forgive us our debts. One of the evangelists says, our trespasses. Another says, our sins. Amen. Our debts. That's just say them all. Forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those that have sinned against us, indebted to us, and have trespassed against us, and do it every day. That's the answer to the schism. Boy, that'll defeat the devil. Praise God. When you absolutely refuse to carry a grudge when you get hurt, you have learned how to defeat Satan. But he's a tear. I know he's a tear. I know tears when I see tears. Shh. Shh. Amen. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach the full gospel. And if that tear is willing to sit there and listen to holiness preaching, let him alone. If that tear is willing to come through the portals of a holiness church and listen to gospel preaching, let him alone. Amen. And it might just be, amen, that God may change him. He's a God of miracles, isn't he? And if he can't change him, he can still use him. Amen. Hey, boys, don't throw away your scaffold too quick. Amen. You don't use the best of lumber for the finish inside. The lumber that you use for the finish inside to make a scaffold out of, do you, Brother Hugh? Amen. You use some pretty rough stuff to make a scaffold with, don't you? Amen. It can even be rough sawed as far as that goes. Amen. Tough old stuff. Amen. You may throw it away and burn it when you get done with it. But hey, fellas, if you're building a church, my advice is don't throw your scaffold away too quick. Amen. You might need them sometime. Amen. You say you got your brick laid, pull scaffold down and throw it away. Amen. Or I got my soffit in. Amen. Pull scaffold down, throw it away. Got the roof on, pull scaffold down, throw it away. Don't throw it away too quick. You might need to lay brick with it. Amen. You might need to do some trim work or put up the guttering, huh? Amen. Yeah, well, we live in a day, I know, when we've got all kinds of subcontractors and they bring their own scaffold. But in my day, you built a house, you did it all yourself. I mean, from foundation right up, I mean, I did it all myself. I mean, I've dug the footing with a shovel by hand in a poison ivy patch. Amen. And I mean, I didn't think you could get poison ivy from the roots of poison ivy, especially if you didn't touch it. Amen. But I had poison ivy, the worst case I ever had, from my feet to my waistline, just from digging a footer with a shovel in poison ivy roots. Amen. But I've done it all. Amen. From the very ground up. And then they'd leave me to do the finish work afterwards. When Charles Mayberry got the house full enough along, he'd leave me with the drywall and the trim and the varnish. And oh, that did get tiresome. I like to build houses where you can frame, make progress. But when you get to painting that little old strip of wood around that window pane, I don't like that. And when you got to put them little old pieces of wood all around and that cope, that cove molding around that ceiling and all that meticulous, slow, expensive stuff, I just couldn't hardly stand it. I'd get so aggravated and so tired of the house before I'd get it done. Amen. But in the old days when a contractor worker did it all from the ground up, you don't throw your scaffold away too quick. Amen. And say, how many of you ever built a house that you got good plywood to build forms and built your own forms and poured the basement? Even drilled holes in them, you know, and wired up and everything. And then you tore that form up after you got the basement poured and used plywood to lay the subfloor. How many ever heard of anything like that? And you took those boards. We didn't waste nothing back then. We built houses in those days. Amen. Hey, don't throw anything away too quick. You may need it after a while. Amen. The fellow that wrote Pastor in Profile said every church needs a Ahab and a Jezebel in it to keep the preacher praying. You may not think there's any good to Ahab and Jezebel in the church. Get rid of them all. Amen. But this fellow, amen, in a book still in print, and many reprints, Pastor in Profile, amen. Praise God. He said sometimes a pastor needs some of them to keep him praying and to keep him humble before God and to stay agile before God. Well, I'll throw that out to you. Amen. I'm just saying, don't throw your scaffold boards away. Don't throw your form plywood away too quick. You may need it, praise God, to put a subfloor on the barn or the garage. Amen. I said all that to say this. We don't always know what God's going to do with a man or a woman. I've seen it take years for them to change for the better. And then like you'd turn on a light, they'd get filled with the Holy Ghost and God would use them mightily. Amen. I've seen that. I'll confess that I'd give up on them. And I almost missed seeing it because I had given up on them. Amazing thing, some of the folks that this poor little old preacher gave up on. Amen. They're some of the main people in that church today. And their sons are pastoring two churches in southern Illinois and doing a good work for holiness. Amen. And just because I can't help them, that don't mean somebody can't help them. Amen. It may take another gift, another ministry. I said all that to say this. Amen. Don't blame God. Blame the devil. Forgive your brother and try to save the sinner. Amen. He said, for him. Amen. Wonderful restoration. Hallelujah. Pray for him. There is a sin unto death, he said. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. Ain't no use to pray for people they commit the unpardonable sin. Amen. And they don't hang around church very long either. They don't live very long even. Amen. They're short. Their time is short for this world. You see a brother which sin a sin which is not a death, pray for him. That's 1 John 5:16. If you want to check it out. And in James 5:20 has a sequence to it. Let him know that converteth a sinner, still talking about people right in the church, from an error of his way, he shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Amen. Another, he asks the question, who knoweth whether thou shalt save thy brother? Amen. Amen. I said all that to say this. Say this. My advice to the churches is stay together. Amen. If at all possible, stay together. Amen. If staying together means getting in a fight and having fist cuffs right in church, it might be better not to stay together. Amen. But if you do much for God, you're going to have to forgive. Sooner or later, you don't have to get over that and forgive. Praise God. Amen. God has a lot of ways of flushing ministers out of the nest and helping them to find the perfect will of God. And, amen, helping the fledglings to earn their wings. Praise God. But for the time being and for the most part, by and large, amen, it's not God's will for us to separate. It's God's will for us to stay together. Stay in church. Stay in fellowship. We're going to need each other's prayers. We're going to need the prayer power that comes from staying together. Praise God. Amen. Somebody's going to have to keep the house together and wait for that prodigal to come home. I've made a statement from this pulpit. If the prodigal had come home in some of our scenarios in this latter part of the 20th century, amen, he wouldn't find dad at home, and he wouldn't find mama at home. He wouldn't even find the elder brother at home. He'd have to look for him. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? Where's my brother? Oh, haven't you heard? They went to the far country on the other side. Amen. They're in the far country too. Hey, somebody's going to have to stay home. Somebody's going to have to stay together. Somebody's going to have to keep this kingdom going, so we need a good householder, and we've got one. Jesus, the Lord of his own house. Hallelujah. We need some faithful servants. Amen. Some elder brothers, and we got some. Hey, why you say, let's just stay together and let's wait for that prodigal to come home. There's no storm we can't wither, and the judgment is going to answer a whole big bunch of questions. And one of them is who the tares are. Amen. And what's going to happen to the tares? Amen. Let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of the harvest, you'll say to the reapers, gather first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. Amen. Well, that's my little message titled, Don't Blame God. Amen. Don't blame God. Well, who are you going to blame? People? Huh? Well, people's just people. People's just people. They make mistakes. Some people's blind. That's my next message. Amen. Hang in there. You'll get the other half. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some people's blind. You can't blame people. People just gonna be people. Amen. God help us not to be too broad-minded so as not to preach righteousness. Amen. Billy Sunday, he had to answer that. Said some of the bars in some churches so low that any old hog with two suits of clothes and a bankroll can crawl under. Amen. But then we don't want to get the bar so high that nobody can get in. Amen. Some of these we may think, expect, see the least potential of any future. Amen. He's a God of John Newton, the God of amazing grace. Let's praise Him for amazing grace this morning. And oh God, this poor, untactful temperament. God, I forgive them as I'd like to be forgiven. And Lord, I'm going to try to hold my head up. And I'm going to try to smile, even though sometimes it's weak. And I'm going to keep loving. And I'm going to keep giving. And I'm going to keep forgiving. And I'm going to try to sow the seeds of fellowship. So that if the powerful chain of fellowship, the powerful chain of prayer that we can forge if we stand together is broken, Father, it won't be my fault. I have resolved in my heart, amen, to treat as I like to be treated, to practice the golden rule, amen, and live to be a blessing, Lord. Bless all my people and all my church and all those with whom we have to do and fellowship across the land. And help us, Lord, be broad-minded to see the kingdom and narrow-minded enough to stay separated from the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Raise your hand.